And my wife's favorite is, "It is well with my soul." So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 tonight. I know that the headings that have been added to our Bibles to help us with topics and clarification and so forth aren't in the originals. But do you have a little heading at the top of chapter 10 in 1 Corinthians? If you do, what kind of heading do you have there? Israel in the wilderness? That's exactly what mine says. Israel's history as an example. And so what is Paul doing in reference to the believers there at Corinth? He's going to be warning them, and he's going to use a big illustration to warn them. And what illustration is he going to use to help warn them? The Israel illustration. He's going to go back, and we have been studying on Wednesday nights some of these exact things that are mentioned here in this passage tonight, as we have been looking at some of the miracles that took place in the life of the children of Israel. And let's just read down through at least verse 13. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And so we've been studying about the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea on Wednesday night. We've been studying on Wednesday night the miracle of the cloud and the pillar of fire. And so that's what's referring to here, some of those miracles. "And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And so we talked last Wednesday night about four of the miracles of provision that God did. The provision of the bitter water made sweet, and the provision of the manna, and the provision of the quail, and the provision of the water out of the rock. And so again, we're following some of their history. "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." Which ones do you think God was not well pleased with? Yeah, later when Moses hit the rock. What else? Yeah, all those aged 20 and older who perished in the wilderness. And why did they perish in the wilderness? They murmured, they complained, and they did not obey God when God said go, and they feared to go. And for they were overthrown in the wilderness. I once said in a message once that I know what the Israelites became experts at doing. They were expert grave diggers. For all those who perished in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now when did some of them become idolaters? At the mountain, and when they worshiped the golden calf. All right. "Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." And we remember the John passage that says, "And even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And verse 10, "Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now that's his illustration. But what is he writing to them what was his topic. What was he interested in exhorting them toward here? Well, he comes to his topic in verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So he's saying, look at the children of Israel, and don't you dare get proud, because just the moment you think you can stand, what's going to happen? You're going to fall. And then he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. What are some of the temptations he might be referring to here? Well, I underlined them in my Bible. Idolatry, fornication, tempting Christ, murmuring. They're all mentioned in the context of this. And he says, don't fall into temptation. Now, I don't think it's limited to just those temptations, but I believe that certainly, since he mentioned certain of those things in particular as illustrations, that we all need to be on guard against all kinds of temptation, but especially those temptations. And I'm not worried about some of you actually bowing in front of an idol today, like the golden calf, or like the idol of Mary, or those things. I'm not worried that any, I'm looking around the room, and I really do not worry about some of you this week going and bowing before an idol. But we do recognize that we can demonstrate idolatry in our lives in other ways than just by going and bowing in front of a literal idol. And certainly, I am not worried, really, I'm not that worried about some of you committing fornication, but you know what? The Bible says that if we even look on a woman to lust after them, we have what? Committed fornication in our hearts. And so sometimes we look at this and say, well, I would never do that, but you know, sometimes we are guilty of these things in our own hearts and lives, in the privacy of our own lives. And probably the one that we are most prone to in this list is murmuring, you know. And we all have to watch out against that, don't we? What is inevitable? What is something that's inevitable? Pardon me? Change is inevitable. What else is inevitable? Death and taxes. Some people say that. Death and taxes. Inevitable. You can't get out of them. Be interesting to see who gets elected here as our next president and what kind of a tax program. We've got all kinds of wild solutions flying all over the place, don't we? And so what does the word inevitable mean? There's no way to escape it. It's inevitable. Well, I'm not necessarily believing that I'm 100% sure about this inevitability and temptation, but I'll tell you, temptation is very close to being inevitable. How many Sundays do we have left in this year? Count them. We have the 29th, we have the 6th, we have the 13th, we have the 20th, and we have the 27th. So we have how many Sundays left in this year? 5 left in this year. You know what? Probably between now and those 5 Sundays, some of us will face some pretty stiff temptation. Some pretty stiff temptation. It's almost inevitable. Something that is going to happen and we can't get it. In fact, this passage in verse 13 almost talks about temptation as being that way, doesn't it? He doesn't say when temptation, but he says there hath no temptation taken you. So it's a common thing. It's perhaps an inevitable thing. And but the wonderful thing is, what does that verse mean when it says it's common? Well, let's just remember, you're not in it alone. It is common to all of us. It was common to the Jews. It was common to Paul. It was common to the church at Corinth. And it's common to us today. We all are in this together. Without going into too much detail, what are doomsday preppers? What are doomsday? There used to be a program on television. I haven't seen it for a while. Is it still on? I don't know. There used to be a program on about preppers and all they would do. And, man, they would make compounds and they would dig traps and they had arms stored and they had... But what is a doomsday prepper? Somebody who thinks things are going to get really bad, and so we better be ready. You know, twice in my life, there have been predictions of those kind of things that are going to happen. One time while I was in seminary, there was quite a movement going on that things were going to really get tough, and you better stock up some stuff. Well, we didn't stock up a lot, but we had some beans and rice that we bought and had set aside for some of that time. And there are those who today say you better prepare because times are going to get rough and we better be ready. And it's wise to be thinking ahead, because if something is inevitable, what's the best thing to do in relationship to it? To try to prepare. Now, I'm not just saying that these doomsday things are inevitable, but it's always wise to prepare. And so if we know that we're going to face temptation, then it's wise to try to do what? Be prepared. To get ready. If a general knew that his city was going to be under attack at a certain time, he would be very foolish if he did not try to prepare for that attack. And the same thing is true in our lives. If we know that we are going to face temptation, then we ought to the best of our ability, get ready. Be prepared. And certainly, here's another thing I'm thankful for. That when we do face temptation, God is our defender. We talked this morning about God being our what? Our representative. And tonight, God is our defender. God is our defender. God has not placed us on this earth and then abandoned us. And we are not here to struggle on our own and just see if we can get by and if we can make it. We are not like the proverbial kitten that you see in a picture where he's hanging on the limb and it says, just hang in there. You know, that is not what God has done for us, to just leave us to hang in there. And this verse gives us some principles. This verse gives us some promises. What is the middle phrase of this verse? But God is what? Faithful. God is faithful. God is there. Who is it that's going to help you when you face temptation? It's God. And God has done some wonderful things in relationship to temptation. One of the things is that he has set some limitations. Did God set some limits when Job was being tempted? Certainly. God set some limits, didn't he? And you know what's true in your life and my life? God sets the limits on your temptation. And what's the limit that he will not suffer you to be, or allow, that's the word suffer, allow you to be tempted above what? That ye are able. So he knows all of us at our breaking point. He knows when we are about ready to, and I'm going to use this word, cave in, when we're about ready to fall, and he has set the limit so that that temptation can only go so far and no further. And so it's wonderful. God knows the intensity of every temptation. He knows the length of any temptation. He knows the severity. He knows how much we can handle. He knows what our breaking point is. And he has said, because of my faithfulness, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. Go to Luke 22 with me quickly. Luke 22. Who's being tempted here in Luke 22, verse 31? All right, Peter, also called Simon here, in Luke 22, 31, says, Simon, Simon, or Peter, Peter, behold, Satan hath desired you, or desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, Satan wants to put him through the temptation. He mentions temptations just ahead of that. Verse 28, you have continued with me in my temptation. And so he's talking about Simon now. And he says, Satan hath desired, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And so what particular temptation is Christ referring to in the life of Peter? The temptation to deny the Lord. And so Satan had to ask permission, and God has set a limit. We are not left to Satan's mercy, because Satan doesn't have any mercy. So we are not left to his judgment. God is still in control, and God sets the limitations. And so we know, according to this verse, that we can never be tempted more than we are able to bear. Even if we are tempted in our weakest moment, and for most of us, when is our weakest moment? Well, oftentimes it's when we're sick or tired. When you're extremely sick or you're extremely tired, guess who comes to tempt? Satan. And so even if it's our weakest time, our weakest moment, or if it's our weakest area, God knows what points, or excuse me, Satan knows at what points we give in the most easily, doesn't he? And it doesn't matter if it's our weakest area, we can never be tempted more than we can bear. And that God is involved in our struggle. What does he kind of act as? The referee. He says, you can only go so far. Can't do that, Satan. Nope. And he is there to referee. And then the truth that we read in this verse, God is what? Faithful. God is faithful. He never fails. He won't leave us. And so we can act on that promise. There are no excuses. We always give excuses, don't we? Oh, I can't help it. You know what the Bible says? Yes, you can. And the devil made me do it. Can the devil make you do anything? No, he can tempt you, but he cannot make you do anything. So it's not an excuse to say the devil made me do it. And there was no way I could say no. There's an excuse. Well, there are ways you can say no. Through the grace and strength of God, you can say no. But here's a second principle that's found in this verse. Not only is God faithful, and not only has God set the limit, but what does God also always do? He makes a way to escape, that ye may be able to escape, and that you may be able to bear it. Along with every temptation, God has designed a way out. I remember one time in high school that I was invited to a party. And I showed up at that party to discover that it was a lot of my high school friends, and it was true back then. You couldn't drink until a certain age, but there was beer at this party. And you know what I immediately did? This was not even one I was tempted at. I just got in my car and left. Immediately. You know, there's always a way out. You don't have to be there. And even if it seems hopeless, notice this. It says, what does the word with mean? Alongside, you know, with. And so you've got the temptation, but will with the temptation. So you've got the temptation, and what is there always alongside that temptation? A way to escape. You won't have the temptation unless there's also a way to escape. It's always there. And do you know what our problem oftentimes is? We don't look for the way to escape. We assume it's hopeless, and unfortunately, sometimes because of our flesh, we don't want to escape. One of the first games that I remember much, besides, and I'm gonna really age myself here, things like Frogger and Donkey Kong. How many of you remember any of those games? All right. There was also the one Mario Brothers. And in Mario Brothers, my boys played that when they were younger, and I would be playing, and they would say, "Well, right here, there's a trap door right here." I didn't see any trap door, or if there's some way to get out of there. And they knew what they were, and I had no idea. They'd say, "Right here, now, do this and this, and you can escape." You know, isn't it wonderful today that God is right there with us saying, here's how to escape. Here's how you can escape. Do this. Go here. Do this. God is faithful, and he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that what? You may be able to bear it. You may be able to bear it. Bear it means endure it. Come through it. Withstand it. Don't give in to it. Go back to the book of John, chapter 17. John 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God is not going to take us out of the temptation. What's he going to do? He is going to be faithful. He's going to set the limits. He's going to make a way to escape. And he's going to give us the strength that we can bear it, that we can endure it. So God is our defender today when it comes to temptation. And so thankful that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that we already learned a few Sundays ago that he is immutable. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when it comes to facing temptation, God never changes. Jesus doesn't change. He's going to help us to endure for his praise and his honor and his glory and for our good. Let's always ask him to show us the way to escape. Father, encourage our hearts to follow you, to love you, to live for you, to not fall to temptation, even though it may be inevitable. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.